This is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Coming up this time, we'll hear from Ford Ennals at the Digital Radio UK summer reception. He's got an update on the state of the digital radio sector for us. Also, Phil Riley has details of John Mayer's London Memorial in November. James Cridland looks at how you can make your presenter music logs smarter. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, how radio covered the moon landings 50 years ago. The Radio 1 Roadshow has a birthday. And David celebrates the Sonobox.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Radio Today's Roy Martin is here as well. And as we record, some breaking news from the Competition and Markets Authority. They've made their ruling, as we're expecting, on the 24th of July about Bauer. And they've said, no, we're not really very happy, haven't they?
They have. It's I don't know what I was expecting today being the deadline, the 24th of July, when we're recording, and it's just come out. But they're saying it needs to go on to a phase two investigation unless they sort some bits out. So let's look at what those bits are, shall we?
Yes. Well, there's two things, isn't there? The first thing is about some competition concerns in three regions. And the second thing is about FRS, First Radio Sales, which is the national sales house for local radio stations.
Yes, those three regions in question, they mentioned the west of England, Yorkshire and the West Midlands, where they have or will have quite a number of stations if this goes through. So which stations do we think, because they haven't mentioned which stations, they've just said the region. So looking at the map, which stations do you think these could be, Stuart?
So in the west of England, Bauer already own KISS, don't they, in Bristol, a regional west of England service. And so by acquiring Celador and UKRD, who have stations in the west, the competition there in Bristol is going to be Sam FM and The Breeze in Bristol, which are Celador licences that they're wanting to acquire. So I'm guessing if they sold those two to Nation or somebody else, that problem in the west of England would probably go away. In the West Midlands, Bauer have already got Greatest Hits Radio, which is the old Kerrang licence. They've obviously got Free Radio as well, which is in Birmingham and the Black Country. So Shropshire, and Shrewsbury and Telford and Kidderminster, Wolverhampton, all covered, of course, by Signal 107, which is a wireless group station that they were hoping to acquire. So I'm guessing in the West Midlands, if they sell Signal 107, then that might make that problem go away. I don't know whether Signal in Stoke is considered West Midlands as well, though. Does that fall in the West Midlands region, or is that northwest, or is it a bit in the middle?
It's the bit in the middle, isn't it? I wouldn't say. I think officially it's the West Midlands, because it's certainly not northwest, is it? So, but I think they're talking about the main Birmingham area, aren't they? And maybe Wolverhampton.
You would think
as well.
So. I wouldn't have thought Signal 1 and Signal 2 would cause a competition issue with stations in Birmingham.
No.
But yeah, so I think selling Signal 107, which is that kind of combination of four licences, as say Wolverhampton, Shrewsbury, Telford, Kidderminster. I think I've covered those four licences, haven't I? So yeah, I think if they get rid of that, then they might allow that. Yorkshire is perhaps a bit more complicated. There's obviously Lynx Group stations and there's UKRD stations that Bauer are looking at acquiring. I don't think the UKRD ones in North Yorkshire create any competition issues with what Bauer already have. But in South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire, obviously Bauer have already got Air and Hallam and the two medium wave stations running as Greatest Hits. So Trax and Dern and Rother and Ridings would create some problems there. So again, they might have to dispose of those to make the CMA's concerns go away.
So Bauer has said it's going to start working with the CMA over the next few days, which is optimistic, to try and make this problem go away. So if you were one of the managers at Bauer today, Stuart, which stations would you say you're going to sell to somebody like Nation, for example, to look after and to make this problem go away?
Well, it depends who wants to buy and whether Nation want to buy them. And we don't, as I say, we've been told the regions, but we don't know the exact markets that it affects. But I would say probably if they're not going to sell KISS in Bristol, are they? So
no.
They'd have to sell Sam or Breeze or both in Bristol, probably Signal 107. And whether they need to sell all of Tracks, Rotherdon and Ridings, or whether they could just sell a couple of those. I guess that's the discussion they're going to have with the CMA over the few days to come.
So maybe we're looking at about five little stations to be sold,
that would make
the problem go away. The other major thing that the CMA is bothered about is First Radio sales and the future of First Radio sales.
Yeah.
This was what they mentioned, first of all, in their release on Wednesday morning. FRS sells advertising on, for over 100 radio stations. And if these, if Bauer took control of half of those stations, they wouldn't need First Radio sales necessarily. Yeah. So where does that leave FRS is the big question concerned by the CMA at the moment. The question which I put to you, where does that leave the FRS?
Well, I think totting up, so FRS represents, I think, about 120 local radio stations across the country at the moment, and they obviously include the Lynx FM group stations, the wireless local stations, Nation and the Celador stations as well. So if Bauer are going to say, well, we'll look after the national sales for these three groups that we've acquired and Nation as well, it would leave around about 50 stations scattered around the UK in the FRS portfolio, essentially smaller groups that are on their own or independent stations that want some national representation on sales. So we're talking about stations like Central and Kingdom and Original and Wave in Scotland, as well as in the Northwest, things like The Revolution, Silk and D. There would be Q Radio in Northern Ireland, KMFM, Moor Radio and Isle of Wight Radio, Ireland and Channel 103 in the Channel Islands. And then in the West, there's things like Radio X and Radio Plymouth. So stations that are not aligned to groups, the Jack stations as well, sold by FRS as well. So Oxys Media. Little group of stations. I guess somebody else could take that group on. Somebody could say, yeah, we'll buy FRS, we'll represent these 50 stations for national sales. But when you're buying for 50 rather than 120, you're not going to get as good a deal on the national sales. So again, the CMA might say, well, that's not really going to be fair competition, because you're taking away the buying power of this group by acquiring all those stations and effectively pretty much decimating FRS.
So it's a difficult one. So FRS could continue, but it won't have the buying power, it won't have the large scale for the national advertising. But the CMA wants FRS to continue because the local stations, or majority of the local stations, kind of depend on it for the national sales. So yeah, if you were D Ford, what would you... There's no answer to that question at the moment, is there? It's purely speculation. So.
Yeah, we're going to have to see what's going to happen over the next few days. As I say, Bauer will say they'll sort it out in a few days. As we see if it takes that long. See if they might have been anticipating this. They might have been doing some work in the background. We'll have to wait and see.
So to sum it up, we could have, say, half a dozen radio stations being sold to somebody else. That would sort that problem out, and then FRS would need to continue because that's the main concern. But somebody else who's already doing radio sales could maybe come in and take that over, somebody who's not involved in this. So we'll all find out in the not-too-distant future, but I say for now it's clearly business as usual at all the radio stations concerned. Carry on, as they say.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick Hassel.
Right, let's talk about some of the other stuff that has been going on this week. We've got a new Prime Minister in place, a new Culture Secretary and Digital Minister to be announced as well. It's all change. We'll see what that brings. And it was, on a related note, nice to hear Phil Williams back on the radio. Too long since he left Five Live's Late Show, but he's covering on Talk Radio Drive this week and sounding very good. I had a listen to a little bit of that when he was on College Green, covering all the politics, doing what he does best. Hide and Seek is back, Roy, and you're a fan.
Do you know, I've not listened to it as much as I thought I would this time. They started at 4 p.m, which, people are busy at 4 p.m, so I wasn't listening to the launch. We had the kids and everything, and now it's the summer holidays, so I've not listened as much as I can. I believe it's still going on, isn't it? They've been
I think they're still hiding. I think they'll drag it on a few days, won't they? I don't think they'll let them be found too quickly.
No, it's great. I love the mechanic. I love the fact that it's, people are listening to the radio and tweeting about it and getting excited by something going on, and I think there should be more hide and seeks on the radio. you know, I'm sure City Stations could do something similar without totally ripping off the idea, like the old Fugitive or Renegade idea. It's all good stuff, and it gets people excited about radio again.
Yeah, absolutely does. Right, so we're going to be talking about digital radio with Ford Ennals a little bit later in the podcast, but some digital stories around this week. One of them is the arrival of a new station from Fun Kids, Fun Kids Junior, a spin-off aimed at preschoolers and their parents. This is just in London, I think, isn't it?
This is in parts of London, so it's on the Surrey and South London multiplex operated by Muxco, which somewhat connected to the radio station, so hopefully they've got a good deal on that one. I'm sure they've sorted it out. So yeah, it's good to see brand extensions as always, and Fun Kids Junior covering another age group for radio.
And we touched on it, I think, in weeks gone by. The Channel Islands going to get a multiplex of stations, and Ofcom closing date happened last week. They've got three applicants in, so there are Folder Media and Tyndall CI, the owners of Channel 103 and Island FM. They've put an application in. Nation Radio, also with Bailiwick Broadcasting, have put an application in, and Small Digital Planet, a consortium of local businessmen and local radio people in the Channel Islands. So it's going to be hotly contested. It's a while since we've had multiple applications for multiplexes.
It is, and it is quite interesting, especially considering the size of the multiplex and the amount of people that live in the Channel Islands. But the big thing here is the kind of guaranteed cash that you would get if you operated a multiplex in the Channel Islands, because there's no, there's not a lot of national coverage there. So a lot of the national commercial brands will want to go on there. So there's almost like a guaranteed income if you set this one up. So good luck to all three of them.
Excellent. Details have been announced for the London Memorial Service for John Myers. It's going to be on the 12th of November at St Martin in the Fields in Trafalgar Square. And I've been speaking to John's friend and one of the organisers, Phil Riley, to find out more about the event.
The funeral was only a few days really after John died, and it was in Carlisle, and everybody recognises that it was going to be difficult for lots of the radio industry to get there. So it was always the case, I think, that we were going to try and organise a memorial in London, and we're pleased to have been able to do that. I know a lot of people have been saying, why have you not been able to announce it earlier? The logistics of the venue and some of the people that we're going to have as part of that memorial and getting diaries sorted just meant that we were just taking us a little time, but now we're there and we have a date and people can know when it is, and hopefully middle of November is reasonably good. It doesn't clash, I don't think, with school holidays, half terms. I don't think there are any other industry events around, so it should be a good time for everybody to say, yeah, that's I can make time in my diary for that.
And we'll hear lots of memories of John, no doubt, on the day, and presumably some of John himself and his voice as we heard at this event today.
There'll be a mix of all of those things. Lots of people have got stuff that we want to try and squeeze in. So it will be a mix of everything to do with John and his life, and his family will be represented too. I'm sure Scott's going to say a few words. So, you know, it will hopefully be a great reflection on a great man and his life and times.
And if people want to come along, they need to let you know that they're going to come.
They do, because spaces are limited. So people need to email theteammemorial@gmail.com. And if they can do that, let us know how many of them are coming. That will be really useful, where they're from. And then that will just help us organise the day. We have the facility to maybe have a few more spaces, but we really need to know. So if the word can be spread, if you want to come, tell us now.
Some other stories this week. This one's in your neck of the woods, Roy. BBC Radio Solent is going to be looking for a new breakfast presenter.
Yeah. Julian Clegg is leaving BBC Solent. He's like a generation of grown up with Julian Clegg on Radio Solent Breakfast. So that will be quite a change. And the station has a new new drive time show as well, I believe, starting soon. So, yeah, Radio Solent joining the rest of the BBC local radio network and making some changes to try and attract the young audience. Julian Clegg is 60 on the 5th of December, which is the day of his last show. I'm sure not a coincidence. So it would be interesting to see who is appointed and what age they are. I'm sure they're very conscious of that as well.
Yeah. Now, here's something to think about. What are your listeners up to while listening to your show or your podcast? I wonder what our listeners are doing right now. Maybe driving, making the tea, operating heavy machinery. Maybe something a bit harder than that, maybe, so to speak.
Maybe presenting a radio show and listening to us on prefade.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Possibly. Well, Absolute Radio's Pete Donaldson was made aware of a video on Twitter this week where you can clearly hear him doing a link and punting for text in the background of this video. The lady seen in the video is, shall we say, being rather intimate with a male friend. In flagrante was how Paul Sylvester described it on Twitter.
Great word.
I think Pete was perhaps a little bit more annoyed that they didn't stop what they were doing to text into the show on 8, 12, 15. But it makes you think a little bit. When you're sat in your studio recording your podcast or doing your show, going out live, you've no idea who's listening and what they're doing. So just bear that in mind next time you open the fader.
Ah, yes. I don't think that needs any more comment.
No, but search the story in question out on Twitter if you are interested. Let's move on to something else. The Arias, we're still waiting for an announcement. Normally, the entries would be closing in early August. We have asked the Radio Academy what's going on. They say the timescale has slipped a little bit this year, but there is an announcement coming in the next few weeks, so look out for that. Some arias will be happening. So I've had a lot of people contacting me saying, I'm saving up my audio, and the boss is getting on to me saying, have you put the award entries together yet? But there's no rush. They haven't opened. You haven't missed the deadline or anything like that. When they announce the entries opening and the deadline for entries, we will, of course, talk about it on here and tell you all about it. And, of course, all the details will be on Radio Today as well.
That all sounds very good. But what about something you mentioned on the end of last week's podcast, Stuart? Didn't you say that Lee Clayton was going to be on this very show?
I mentioned the big boss of TalkSport could be on the show, but we had a bit of wires crossed with the PR people. We went in, as you might have seen from some of mine and Roy's tweets and Instagram posts, Facebook posts and things like that. We were in the News UK building last week, and we did have a chat with Lee Clayton, who's the big boss of TalkSport, and we've booked him in to come on the podcast in a few weeks' time. So he's going to be talking about all their plans for the new Premier League season, Game Day, which is their new word for Saturdays. So we'll hear all about the TalkSport plans for the new football season, probably in a couple of weeks on this podcast. It was nice, wasn't it, going in and seeing Chris Evans at work? Did you enjoy that experience, peering through the glass at him?
He's a master. I've always been a fan. He's a master of his work, isn't he? And yeah, it's always great to see somebody enjoying their work. And Chris Evans certainly enjoys what he's doing. So yeah, a wonderful morning to see Chris and how his show comes together. He does it with like 20 people staring at him. He's totally the opposite of I don't know, Chris Moyles, who absolutely hates anybody looking through the window, so much so that he's banned it, hasn't he, from people peering into the window during his show. So, yeah, Chris, absolute master, and it was great to see him at work.
And he just looked so relaxed, and he could, you know, take the show wherever he wanted. There's no kind of producers banging on him. You've got to do this next, you've got to go to this next, you've got to hit this junction. I mean, we were in on Friday morning, and I think they missed the news junction by about 7 minutes at the top of the hour. They dropped
every
the news
hour
at the bottom of the hour. And I think Chris is just really enjoying that freedom to do whatever he wants to do and make the show his own, and that kind of came across watching him through the glass, didn't it?
Yeah, he's got some great new shoes for that mountain that he's climbing, which he's very happy with. So, yeah, good luck to him.
Yeah, well, Rage Art is coming up in the next couple of weeks, isn't it? Is it next week, Rage Art? Blimey, it's next
week.
Yeah.
Shush. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Come around fast. So, yeah, the Q2 Rage R figures out next Wednesday, Thursday. Full coverage of that coming up on radiotoday.co.uk, of course. It's the Radio Centre Tuning In Conference in September. Fleur, Greg and James, who you heard on this podcast recently, are going to be at that. It's 25th of September at the Bridgewater Hall, if you're interested in going along. All the details on the Radio Centre website. And then looking ahead to the next digital radio event, that's Drive to Digital on the 30th of October at the British Library. Right, next we're at the Digital Radio Summer Reception with Ford Ennals, and we'll talk to you next week, Roy.
Bye-bye now.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it. Today.
So here we are on the 17th floor of the news building, the home of Virgin Radio and Talk Radio and Talk Sport. We've been at the Digital Radio Summer Reception, and Ford Ennals is here, the CEO of Digital Radio UK. Some lively discussion today here.
Yeah, sure. I mean, first of all, I should say, what an amazing location this is. I think Wireless has now completed moving their radio group into the News UK towers here. All the studios are here. They're all ready to go. And we heard from their chief operating officer, and I just talked to Scott Taunton. I mean, they are so enthused. They're raring to go. They genuinely believe they can substantially grow the wireless business. And now is the number one digital group in the UK. I can barely believe on what I'm saying. So I think 74, 75% of their business is digital. You know, they're in well positioned to do it. And what we heard today was the backing they've got from News UK, from the resources of The Sun, from The Times. And that potentially is a game changer. And I think it's great news for the radio industry and for listeners.
And not only the radio industry here today, but we had people from Spotify and TuneIn and the wider audio and radio industry.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I think what we're clearly seeing over the last couple of years is the debate and the focus is widening. I mean, we're now looking at audio, not just radio. And I think the radio groups see themselves not competing with each other, but they're competing with, you know, global internet competitors, but particularly in the area of podcasts. I mean, Spotify were here. They're enthused. They wanted to be part of the radio operation and get involved, which I think is healthy. And we heard a lot of talk today about new content and ways that we can get new voices heard in the radio sector, radio and audio sector. And I think all of that is incredibly healthy. I mean, you and I have been talking for many years, and I think, you know, this is one of the best points, I think, for radio's development in terms of creative content, in terms of investment, in terms of innovation, that it's very, very healthy, and particularly for listeners who get, you know, all the plethora of choice they have.
And those extra stations we talked about, Virgin and the big investment that they've made, they've helped get digital listening up to 56% as a share. We've got some new radar figures out in a few weeks as well. How do we keep it going? How do we keep that momentum going now we've done some of these big things already?
Well, I think the momentum now is going to be sustained, because I think that there's two fundamental things driving it. One, frankly, is digital radio in car. I know you're a big fan of DAB in your car,
yeah.
And we see that growing at 25% every year. So that will continue, because 93% of all new cars have DAB in them. And then, you know, online listening in homes is going to continue to grow. I mean, smart speakers we heard today are in 20% of homes. A lot of those speakers are used for listening to radio. That's going to grow the online share. So I think we can absolutely predict that digital listening will continue to grow. I think the issue we heard today, we heard about the digital review, the government digital review, which I think is an important moment, because I think what that says is that government want to work with the industry, with the broadcasters, to kind of chart the future of radio in the UK. And there's an assumption that it's going to look different. And I think when you look at what today we heard stats that 14% of people listen to podcasts every single week, and we hear people like Spotify and Apple and others wanting to come into this marketplace, I think, you know, the market's going to be measurably different in 10 years' time. Will the same people who are dominating radio today dominate in 10 years' time? I think that's the debate. But clearly, BBC, Global, Bauer want to work together and want to work with the car industry and supply chain and government to try and protect and sustain, you know, their position.
Couple of other things. I think I remember the first time you were on the Radio Today programme and you were talking to Trevor when you'd just been appointed. I can remember I was walking my dog in the park. I remember hearing that interview. And back then we were talking about switchover, and we were talking about 2015, which now seems a long way away with everything that's happened since. That conversation has moved on, and no longer are we talking about switchover and turning off AM and FM services, because that's not the story anymore.
You're right. I mean, the world has definitely changed. I think the vision 10 years ago probably was that the health of the radio industry would be supported and enhanced by having a speedy switchover from FM to DAB. I mean, now we recognise it's not binary. I mean, you know, digital is the future, you know, 56.4% already, but it's across multiple platforms. And also, understandably, particularly with young listeners, you know, broadcasters don't want to lose the young listeners who are listening on analog. But, you know, what was very clear today from government and other people who spoke today is that the pace of change from digital to analog will be looked at in this review, and a view will be taken. At some point, it may be that, you know, you can't sustain, the economics don't support staying on a platform. And both, I thought surprisingly, but interestingly, Five Live and TalkSport both said there's probably a time limit on medium wave. It's not now, but it's something they should look at. So, you know, there are transitions going on. There's the analog to digital one. The other one we heard about today was the one from DAB to DAB Plus. And we're seeing now a growth of DAB Plus stations. Ofcom have regulated or are recommending that DAB Plus is the medium for broadcast medium for small scale. We've now got, you know, all the DAB Plus stations on Sound Digital and Digital One. And I think at some point, because capacity is now scarce for DAB, you can't launch any new DAB stations, there's a decision to be made. Do we, at some point, transition fully from DAB to DAB Plus? And I think that's something we'll be talking about.
And just finally, obviously, through your work with Digital Radio UK, you're kind of the radio industry's lobby group on digital radio with the government, and you work very closely and have worked closely with Ed Vasey and Matt Hancock and the other ministers through the year.
And Margot James,
yeah, I was coming down to. Obviously, as we're recording this, she's just announced her resignation. It was probably inevitable that there was going to be some changes in cabinet and ministers when we get a new prime minister next week anyway. But does that mean you start again when you get a new minister? Is it kind of you having to teach them and kind of educate them about digital radio, or is it a kind of, did DCMS do that for you?
This is frankly a dance the radio industry and the media industry has done time and time again, whether it be, you mentioned Matt Hancock, you could have mentioned John Whittingdale, we had Jeremy Hunt at one point was in that chair. So this is the way of politics, and the civil servants are, you know, conditioned to having new masters and new leaders, but the civil servants stay the same. And we're fortunate to have in O'Neill, in the head of the broadcast at DCMS, someone who supports radio, believes in radio, wants to forward a digital radio agenda. And so he will do a lot of that heavy lifting for the industry. But I'm sure we'll all be beating a path to the door of the incoming minister. We think there would have been changes anyway. We're disappointed that Margot's left, but there's likely that we'd have seen changes at the end of next week. And, you know, we don't think it's going to fundamentally change DCMS's support for the sector or indeed for the digital review.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for the drinks.
Always welcome. We look forward to your Christmas party.
And that was Ford Emmels from Digital Radio UK talking to me for the Radio Today programme. Just ahead of James Cridland, here's a reminder to try out Clean Feed this summer if you need to take your show or podcast on the road. It's great for OBs and doing radio remote interviews, as well as for getting guests onto your podcast in great quality or maybe onto your radio show. It's really simple to use just via a browser. You can even record it all as well. Clean Feed is completely free to get started with. It has a paid for option as well to give you extra features, and it'll only take you a minute or so to get signed up and hooked up in great quality for your first go with CleanFeed. Have a look today at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net. David Lloyd is on the way. First, here's James.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. In an idle chat a few weeks ago on Twitter, I asked to see presenter music logs from radio stations. And by a music log, I mean the thing that's printed out for presenters that tells you what songs you're playing that hour and where the ad breaks go. And I found one from 1996, and it's a pretty good example of a typical music log. It lists a song title and an artist and some timings. And about the same time, I was using something very similar on Hallam FM, so I assumed that it's changed a lot, given that we're now in 2019 and not in 1996, but it hasn't. They're almost entirely unchanged, apart from the use of a new font. Ooh. Back online, with the recent moon landing anniversaries, discussion then went to talking about appropriate songs to play, and Tasmin Archer's Sleeping Satellite popped up. Now, when Sleeping Satellite was a hit, I was working for The Pulse, a radio station in Bradford.
West Yorkshire's Top 20.
This is James Andrews. You'll only find the songs that are selling in West Yorkshire on West Yorkshire's official Top 20.
Tasmin Archer was born in Bradford, and therefore at the station we typically called her Bradford's Tasmin Archer whenever we back announced the song. Down the road at Air FM in Leeds,
Radio Air FM, the best.
They were calling her Leeds's Tasmin Archer because after she left school, she worked in Leeds at the court there. We all knew that Tasmin Archer could be claimed as a local artist. But when playing Elton John and Kiki Dee's Don't Go Breaking My Heart, which we had to with monotonous regularity, considerably less of us back announced her as someone born in Little Horton in Bradford. And so we come back to presenter music logs. Because as a tool to tell presenters where the songs go, they're great, but as a tool to make better radio, they're a bit rubbish, because they've no information on them at all. If you produce music logs today, it's not actually difficult to highlight local artists from your transmission area. And if you stuck it through a piece of software, it should be easy to pull the latest news headline featuring the artist, to grab their latest tweet, to see what they last posted on Instagram, just in case it would make for a more interesting story on the air. A smart music log could turn a lazy back announce into something that sounds researched, acknowledges the local area, and could make any station sound a little more alive and up to date. Today's technology could do all of this automatically, but it turns out that at least one station has done this in the past, the UK's Classic FM, which appeared, at least for the launch of the station, to have information carefully typed with an actual typewriter onto the music log. Technology can do so much to change the way we make radio for the better, and I wonder who'll pick up my challenge to produce a better music log for all of us. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd.
This week, 50 years ago, one small step for man, one giant link for DLT.
And in fact, I must apologise if at the very beginning of today's show I sounded a bit drowsy, but as you can well imagine, I was very intrigued by what was going on upstairs, you know, on the moon. And of course, I stayed up till about 5 o'clock watching those fantastic men walking about on the moon surface, taking photographs and everything. I think it's a tremendous feat. And once again, I'd like to offer congratulations to the American nation. That was really fantastic. Although it tired me out.
Sense of the Day on Radio 1, just after the moon landing this week in 1969. Meanwhile, across on Radio 4...
The World at 1. The latest news headlines this Monday lunchtime.
Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are now resting before preparing to blast off from the moon this evening. The Russian people have been shown 7 minutes of television pictures of the lunar walk. The men on the moon are back inside their module Eagle, recovering from their exertions on the surface. The module is not due to lift off for nearly 6 hours. A report now from Peter Watson in our Apollo studio.
Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are in so-called rest period at the moment. So-called because the cramped quarters of the Eagle landing vehicle on the Sea of Tranquility, however large they may have looked on television, don't allow the crew to lie down.
So many other people in Britain were out of bed to watch the live television pictures of the walk on the moon that the Central Electricity Generating Board had to meet a big increase in the demand for power. It says the increase was enough to meet the normal needs of a city of 1 million people.
The World at One. They made it sound all very everyday, didn't they? Not much drama there, no actuality either. Just a very distant phone line to Moscow a little later on. To the 90s now, and this week, 26 years ago, saw Kid Jensen host his network chart for the last time.
So straight in at number one and still there, Pray from the hottest act of the 90s so far. Take that, take top slot for a third week. This is David Kid Jensen, and from next week, I'll be tuned in to the network chart just like you. After 9 years, which is roughly 84,240 minutes, or 5,054,400 seconds, or 18,720 hits later, I'm handing the network chart record race baton to Neil Fox. And I'm sure he'll run 9 years more. Good luck, Foxy. So until we meet again, take that, remain.
Network chart number one.
David Jensen. This week in 1993, that chart later became the Pepsi chart, Hit 40 UK, and eventually the Big Top 40. It lives on now on global stations, but as a network property, its life ended earlier this year. Anoraks of a certain age would have travelled miles just to see their Radio 1 heroes from afar on stage at the Radio 1 Roadshow. The first one of those was in Newquay 46 years ago this week, and the rest is British radio history.
The Radio 1 Roadshow.
Today,
live from the Promenade Ilfracombe with Mike Reid.
Turnout from all sorts of places around the coast congregated here at the Promenade at Ilfracombe this morning for the roadshow continuing its journey clockwise around the coasts of England and Wales.
Friday morning's Radio 1 Roadshow live from Bowness on Windermere. One or two dedications just before the mileage game here. Now, by the way, let's have a look down here, John. What have we got? We've been asking for the ultimate requests and dedications written on outrageous things.
All around the northwest coast of the UK, each day we didn't think it could get bigger and hotter, and each day it has. Here we are at the Clock Tower car park in wonderful Rhyl. It's good to see so many people. That's about 15,000 people.
The big problem for Radio 1 was that it would be thought of by people living up in the north of England or in other parts of the country as that station down there in London. And I thought we need to get out and about and meet people, you know. And so meeting people on holiday is the best thing we could do. So my plan was in 6 weeks to go around the entire coastline of the UK, including Northern Ireland, which was very ambitious. But it was clearly a success right from the beginning. I mean, we didn't have huge crowds and it was a fairly small caravan, but it worked all right. And after a couple of years, everybody had faith in it. And of course, you start to get union problems. Why are these non-BBC people, like John Miles, driving a vehicle with BBC equipment in it? It should be driven by our people.
Controller Johnny Beerling talking about his Radio 1 Roadshow, which began this week in 1973. The Sonovox effect isn't heard too much on radio ID jingles these days.
Radio Moments!
Years ago, though, stations were awash with that effect. It was very haunting, and it was highlighted for the first time this week, 80 years ago, in a major article in Time magazine. It wasn't an electronic voice as such. What you used to do is to get two small loudspeakers, place them there on the sides of your throat, and then you play sound through the speakers, and that sound gets transmitted to the larynx. Then you mouth the words, and the effect comes out your mouth.
Wonderful Radio London, Radio Caroline, Radio One,
Radio One.
We've got the fun, we've got the sun.
The summer of 81,
sunshine
on Radio Trend. The best music.
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 The best station.
Piccadilly.
Piccadilly.
Your music and your friend.
Serving the West Midlands. C100.
The sound of Sonovox. Back in the early days, though, it sounded a little more like this.
I would think of with a single glance in your eyes.
Watching the stars eyed.
Sonovox heard there in a film called You'll Find Out from 1940. Happy 80th birthday to Sonovox. In its early days, commercial radio was known for its varied tapestry of programming and its industrial action. This week in 77, IRN and LBC was off air. 60 journalists on strike in a dispute between journalists and management. And this week in 1978, LBC was playing songs. Journalists were on strike again, this time over a sacking.
This is LBC 261 medium wave and 97.3 VHF. Owing to an industrial dispute, normal services on both LBC and Independent Radio News have been suspended for the time being. We hope to resume our regular programming as soon as possible.
LBC in trouble this week in 77 and in 78. So with Chris Tarrant making his debut on Reels Smooth and Century 4 years after leaving Capital 11 years ago.
On your birthday in 1960, July 21st, the world's first woman prime minister took office. But which country did she preside over?
Simon Bates beginning the legendary Our Tune benchmark feature on Radio 1 39 years ago.
And really, you pick up on the story about 18 months into their relationship and they've taken precautions, she's on the pill and all the rest of it.
The death of Marconi 82 years ago.
In 1895.
And Noel Edmonds beginning on air at Radio 1 50 years ago.
I'm sorry about that. Yes, indeed. That was the sound of Martha Reeves and the Vandellas from the album Natural Resources. Won't it be so wonderful? And the reason I vanished away, because I pulled the plug out of my headphones and I couldn't hear nothing, honey.
We've all done that, haven't we? Those are this week's Radio Moments.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.